Amen. All right, we're there in Hebrews chapter number 11. And of course, we've been making our way through the book of Hebrews on Wednesday nights. And we find ourselves in Hebrews chapter number 11. Of course, Hebrews 11 is a very famous chapter in the book of Hebrews. It's known as the Hall of Faith. And it's known as the Hall of Faith because of the fact that it gives a listing of all these different characters from the Old Testament. And it shows their great faith. And if you remember, this is now our third week in Hebrews 11. 3 weeks ago, we started Hebrews 11, and if you remember, we didn't start off in the characters. We just looked at all the general verses about faith in Hebrews 11, and I preached a sermon entitled A Theology of Faith. And then last week, we actually started into all of the characters, and if you remember, we only made it to the first four. And we looked at Abel, and we learned about faith for salvation. We looked at Enoch, and we learned about faith for sanctification. We looked at Noah, and we learned about faith for soul winning. And we looked at Abraham, and we learned about faith for separation. If you remember, we were talking about how in the Christian life begins with faith. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And faith is something that should be carried out throughout the Christian life, and it's needed for all these different areas of life. And what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to pick up where we left off, and we're going to continue through these characters. I'm going to do my best to see if we can get through all of these characters in one service here. There's about 10 different points that I'd like to make. I'll try to move through it as quickly as we can. Maybe we won't be able to do that. We'll see. But if you'd like to take notes on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some things. And you'll notice there in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 11, the Bible says this: through faith also Sarah. And Sarah is the next character that we see here in this Hall of Faith. And she's actually the fifth person mentioned in this Hall of Faith. Of course, we saw Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. And now we see here Sarah. And of course, Sarah is Abraham's wife. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself. And I want you to notice the lesson here for faith, because remember, this is the Hall of Faith, so every single one of these characters teaches us something about faith. And for Sarah, what we learn is, and what we see in her passage, is the faith for strength. Through faith also Sarah herself, notice the words here, received strength to conceive seed. And of course, we see here that she physically received strength to be able to conceive seed, and this is referring to the fact that she had a child, she had a baby when she was already old, and she'd been barren her entire life, unable to have children. And the Bible tells us here that she, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. So she'd already passed the age of being able to bear children and have children. But the Bible says that she, through faith, received strength to conceive seed. She was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. God had made the promise, and she judged him faithful who'd made the promise, and then she received strength to conceive seed. Look at verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So I want you to notice the emphasis here that we see in the character of Sarah. Verse 11 tells us she received strength. Verse 12 tells us, therefore sprang there even of one, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand. That's the positive. She received strength, and there sprang out of her and Abraham this great lineage, so many, the Bible says, as the stars and as the sand. But then we also see the negative. In verse 11, it says, when she was past age. So this happened when she should not have been able to physically do it. Verse 12, it says, therefore sprang there even of one, of him as good as dead. And this is a theme that we find in the Bible about both Abraham and Sarah, is that they received strength when they were as good as dead, you know, and they were so old, and I'm not the one saying it, God is the one saying it, but he says they were as good as dead. I mean, their bodies, as far as producing life, they were dead. They should not have been able to produce life, but Sarah here had the faith for strength. And I want you to notice how this is highlighted in other parts of the Bible. You're there in Hebrews 11, obviously that's our text for tonight. I encourage you to keep your place there, but go with me, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter number 4. Towards the beginning of the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter number 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And do me a favor, when you get to Romans, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it, and I'd like you to be able to get to it quickly. Romans chapter number 4, look at verse 18. Notice these words. These words have to do with faith. Romans 4:18. Who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, notice what the Bible says here, notice the emphasis, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So I want you to notice that this is emphasized of both Sarah and Abraham. It says in Hebrews 11, when she was past age, it says, as him as good as dead, but they received strength to conceive seed. Here in Romans 4, it says that he considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he staggered not at the promises of God. He hoped, the Bible says, who against hope believed in hope, and the Bible says there at the end of verse 20, that he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So here we see the faith for strength. And what's the application here for us? The application is this, that this is the faith that we can exercise. The faith for strength is the faith that God can produce life from that which is dead. That when you look at something and you think, well, this is dead. I mean, Sarah is past age. Abraham is as good as dead. If you consider his body, his own body is now dead, and Sarah's womb is dead. The faith for strength says when something is dead, you can have the faith and believe that God can produce life from that which is dead. And this is a faith that we need in our lives from time to time. You're there in Romans. Keep your place in Romans. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Because oftentimes we find ourselves in situations where we think to ourselves, there's no hope here. There's no way that this is going to work out. There's no way that this individual is going to be able to. Because obviously we're looking at Sarah and we're looking at Abraham, and somebody could have looked at them and said, this person cannot produce a child. This person cannot give birth to a child. Their womb is dead. Their body is dead. It cannot happen. And then, of course, God does it because of their faith, because they had the faith and the strength to be strengthened through faith. But oftentimes, obviously, you and I are not usually dealing with physical pregnancies and a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man having faith. But oftentimes, we look at situations where we think, this is dead. This is nothing's going to happen here. And it may be a marriage that you're looking at and saying, this marriage is past age. This marriage is as good as dead. This marriage, there's no life that can spring from it. But the faith for strength tells you, and the faith for strength is this belief that says, I believe that God can produce life from that which is dead, that God can do something here, that God can revive something here, that God can revive a marriage, God can revive a church, God can do a work in somebody's life. And look, sometimes you just, honestly, I look at individuals and I look at situations, and I'm not saying that they're not saved, but I look at situations sometimes and I think to myself, as far as spirituality is concerned, this person's pretty much dead. And, you know, sometimes in the ministry, I just have to hope against hope and just hope and believe that maybe there's some spirituality, there's some strength. And look, we ought not give up on individuals, and you ought not give up on individuals, whether it's a husband or whether it's a wife or whether it's maybe a teenager or whether it's some prodigal son or whatever. You ought to have the faith that God can produce life in that which is dead. That even when someone is past age and as good as dead, that you can hope against hope, and that you can believe that God can strengthen them, and that there's a faith that can produce life from that which is dead. So we see here with Sarah, number one, the faith for strength. And then I want you to notice, secondly, tonight, there's 10 of these, so we'll try to do these quickly. In Hebrews 11 and verse 17, we see the next character, which is not the next character. He's already been brought up. Notice the Bible says, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. And this is why I told you that The Hall of Faith, you know, you get different numbers if you ask different people how many characters are mentioned in the Hall of Faith. You get different numbers because there's some characters that the way they're numbered is a little confusing. I mean, not terribly confusing, but for example, Abraham was already mentioned as number 4 on the list, but then here again, he's mentioned again. So depending on how you want to count that, if you want to just say he's still number 4 and we just kind of took a break and came back to him, or if you want to count this as a separate thing, he would be number 6 now on the list. He'd be both number 4 and number 6. But we see him here mentioned as the 6th faith in verse 17, by faith Abraham. And notice what the Bible says here. And this is not connected to what we learned about him from earlier in the chapter and last week, because last week we learned about his faith to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and to separate from his loved ones and to go out and seek a country. But here we see a different story. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, notice these words, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to, notice the theme here, raise him up even from the dead. Now what's interesting is that Sarah and Abraham had the faith to have Isaac because they had the faith that God could produce life from the deadness of their bodies. But then the Bible tells us here that Abraham sacrificed or was willing to sacrifice Isaac because he was accounting that God was able to raise him from to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now I want you to notice there in Hebrews 11:19. Notice that little phrase, in a figure. And this is telling us that the story of Abraham offering up Isaac was meant to be symbolic. It was a figure for us in the New Testament. So let's go to the story quickly. Genesis chapter 22, first book in the Bible, should be fairly easy to find. Genesis chapter 22. And this is supposed to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we see here that Abraham is being asked to offer up his only, Hebrews 11:17, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. So, of course, in the story, Genesis 22, look at verse 1, the Bible says this, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. You know that God will sometimes tempt us. And the word tempt there is not referring to sin. We know that God does not tempt anybody to sin. But that word tempt there means attempted or adventured. The idea is that God is testing. God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now I don't have time to develop this. Obviously, you could preach a whole sermon series from this story in Genesis 22. We'll do a whole sermon on it. But of course, you know that Abraham and Sarah were barren. We just talked about it. They'd had no children. God had promised them a child. And he finally gave them Isaac when Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And now that they have Isaac, God is asking Abraham to sacrifice his son. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And of course, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Isaac, the only begotten son of Abraham, here is picturing the Lord Jesus Christ being sacrificed by God the Father sacrificing his only begotten son. And like I said, we could preach a whole sermon on it. I'm not going to do that. But let me just give you real quickly just how 6 ways how Isaac pictures the Lord Jesus Christ here. And there's probably more than that. These are just 6 that I jotted down. But in this story, Genesis 22, if you want to study it out later for yourself, Isaac is like Jesus in the sense that he's the only begotten of the Father. That's what Hebrews 11 says, that he was the only, offered up his only begotten son. That's in Genesis 22:2. It says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. So he's the only begotten of the Father there. Also, Isaac, like Jesus, was to be sacrificed in Jerusalem. There's some special meaning there with regards to Mount Moriah and where he's going to do the sacrifice. Number 3, Isaac, like Jesus, was to be sacrificed by fire after his death. Isaac was to be sacrificed, and then he was supposed to be a burnt offering, which is like the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense that he died on the cross, and then the Bible says that his soul went down to hell, and his soul, of course, was not left in hell, but it's part of the sacrifice for sin. sin. Number four, Isaac, like Jesus, would have a three-day journey for a sacrifice. They traveled for 3 days to perform the sacrifice, and Jesus traveled for 3 days and was in the tomb and his soul in hell for 3 days during his sacrifice. Number five, Isaac, like Jesus, had to carry the wood that he would be sacrificed up on the mount. If you study, look at the story there in Genesis 22, Isaac carries the wood for the fire on his back as he goes up the mount. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ carried the cross, and he carried the wood that he would be hung on and be sacrificed. And then Isaac, like Jesus, voluntarily laid his life down in obedience to the Father. Isaac could have easily, Abraham's 100 years old. Isaac could have easily ran away from Abraham or taken Abraham, but he chose to submit himself to his father. And here's what you need to understand about the story. Abraham fully expected to take the life of Isaac. We're not told that in Genesis 22, but the Bible, it's its own commentary. And the Bible in Hebrews 11 tells us that by faith Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tempted, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham fully intended to sacrifice Isaac, and what he was doing was he was believing that even if he took the life of Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Abraham was committed to do this. So what do we see here? We saw with Sarah the faith for strength. We see in Abraham here mentioned the second time as the sixth person on this list, and we see the faith to sacrifice. The faith to sacrifice. Because, as we've already stated, this was a test. The Bible says that God did tempt Abraham. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested. And what God is doing is God is testing Abraham to see if he's willing. See, the faith to sacrifice is the faith that allows you to surrender everything and anything to God. Notice Genesis 22, we read verses 1 and 2, skip down to verse number 10. We won't take the time to go through the whole story, but I'd like you to see what happens here. Genesis 22 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Put yourself in this story. Abraham having his son here, the son they've been waiting for decades. God finally gave them Isaac, and now God wants Isaac to be sacrificed. And the Bible says that Abraham stretched forth his hand. The idea is that he's put his hand up in order to now take the life of his son, and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." See, look at it. "Seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." See, God just wanted to know Abraham. And by the way, this is, if you want to know why Abraham is mentioned twice in the Hall of Faith, you want to know why Abraham is mentioned all throughout the Bible, you want to know why Abraham is one of the most amazing characters in all of Scripture, is because Abraham had enough faith to say, "I will surrender anything, and I will surrender everything, and it doesn't matter what God asks of me, I'm willing to give it all up. I have the faith to sacrifice." Here God says, "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Look at verse 15, Genesis 22, 15. "And the angel Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." And here's a question I have for you. What is it that you're not willing to give up for God? I mean, what is it that if God came to you and said, "I'd like you to sacrifice that. I'd like you to give that up. I'd like you to put that on the altar." Can you actually, I know we sing the words, but can you actually mean the words when we sing the song, "Is thine all on the altar?" Because oftentimes for Christians, there's this limit. We'll say, "God, I'll give you this, and God, I'll give you that, but don't ask for this. Don't ask for that." And the truth of the matter is that oftentimes, and I believe that God does tempt us at times, He does try us at times, and He wants to see how far will we go, or how far are we not willing to go. I just wonder how many of these tests you and I have failed throughout life. And God says, "Give that up. And we say no. When God says, I want you to stop that. And we say no. And maybe God actually wants you to give it up, or maybe God just wants to see if you'd be willing to give it up. But this is the faith that allows you to surrender everything and anything to God. And I would just ask the question. What in your life, what is there in your life that if God said, I want this, you would say no? Because if you would say no, then you don't have the faith to sacrifice. But Abraham did. Sarah did. So we see this faith for strength. We see the faith for sacrifice. Then I'd like you to notice, thirdly tonight, if you go back to Hebrews 11, keep your place in Romans and keep your place in Genesis as well. We're going to come back to Genesis. And you know, I've seen situations oftentimes where individuals, where there's just this one thing. Sometimes it's a job. Sometimes it's a sin. Sometimes it can be different things. This idol. And they're just not willing to give it up, not willing to let it go. And you know, oftentimes when God brings you to this place, and when we fail that test, then God says, I'm done with you. And that doesn't mean that you lose your salvation, doesn't mean any of that, but it does mean that God, the Bible says that no man can serve two masters. And God is not willing to be shared. God wants to know where you're at and what you're willing to sacrifice. So we see the faith for strength, we see the faith for sacrifice. And I'd like you to notice, thirdly tonight, and of course I'm alliterating these, so bear with me. I call this one the faith to see. The faith to see. And we'll actually cover the next three characters all in one, this one point. Character number 7 and 8 and 9, depending on how you're counting it. And we'll cluster them all together because they all kind of have the same theme. And I'd like you to notice it. Hebrews 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac. So now we're talking about Abraham's son. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Notice these words. Concerning things to come. The Bible says that by faith, Isaac blessed. He blessed the next generation concerning things to come. So Isaac exercised this faith to see things that were coming. This is the faith to see what can be. This is the faith to see what can be and what God has in store. But notice, it's not just Isaac. Look at verse 21. By faith, Jacob. Of course, Jacob is Isaac's son. When he was dying, notice these words, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. So the Bible tells us that Isaac blessed his two sons, Jacob and Esau, concerning things to come. And by faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, again, concerning things to come. Notice the theme, verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Of course, Joseph is the son of Jacob. When he died, because remember, Joseph gets sold into slavery by his brothers, gets lied about, put in prison. God takes him out of prison, makes him the second most powerful man in Egypt. And then he saves his people. He brings them into Egypt during a famine. Joseph said about his trial that what they had meant for evil, God had meant for good. And of course, when Joseph is dying in Egypt, the Bible says in verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, the children of Israel did not leave Egypt till 400 years later, till several centuries later. But the Bible says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. He asked that his bones would be taken out of Egypt and that they would be buried in Canaan land. And by the way, the Bible says that Moses did this. They did this. They brought the bones of Joseph and brought him out of Egypt. They carried the bones of Joseph with them for 40 years in the wilderness. And when they entered into Canaan land, they buried his bones. I'd like to know, you know, who was in charge of that for 400 years, watching these bones. But the Bible says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. And what we see here, this is the faith to see. This is the faith to see what can be and what God has in store. Because the interesting thing about faith is that faith cannot be physically seen. That's the whole point. If you can see it, then you don't need faith for it. Look back at verse number 1, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Remember we saw this in our theology of faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, look at these words, not seen. Now faith is a substance, The word substance means the matter by which something consists. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at verse 13, same chapter, Hebrews 11, 13. These all, and by the way, the these all here is referring to Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, all the characters that were mentioned before verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, notice the words here, but having seen them afar off. They had not physically seen them, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but they had seen them through the eyes of faith. They had seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The faith to see is the faith to see what can be and what God has in store. And look, in your life and in my life, we need to have faith to be able to see, to get a vision for what God can do in my life, what God can do in your life, what God can do with your children. Here we see this within the context of a father, Isaac, blessing his sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob blessing both the sons of Joseph, and Joseph directing the descendants coming after him. Hey, what kind of faith do you have to see? What do you see? What's your vision? You ought to have a vision for your life. You ought to have a vision for your family. You ought to have a vision for your spiritual life. It's the faith to see what's not there, but what could be. The faith to see what can be. The Bible says that they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And then I'd like you to notice, fourthly tonight, if you look at Hebrews 11 and verse 23, we see our 10th character. And again, this is where it gets a little confusing, and maybe you don't care about this, but just, you know, I like lists and things, but you look up lists for this, and different lists are going to say different things, because, for example, in verse 23, we read this, by faith Moses, and we're going to get into a little section here regarding Moses, but the interesting thing is that though it says by faith Moses, it's really about Moses' parents. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So this is the 10th character in this hall of faith. And if you're taking notes, you can write down Moses, or you can write down Moses' parents. Their names were Amram and Jochebed. We know that from Exodus 6:20 and Numbers 26:59. If you want to jot that down for your notes, I won't have you turn there. But I want you to notice this, and this kind of goes with what we just talked about in verses 20, 21, 22. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Of course, you know, when Moses was born was a time when Pharaoh had decreed that all the male children of Israel, all the male children that are born, were to be killed. And the Bible tells us that by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Notice these words. Because they saw. They saw. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. This is the faith, I'm titling it, the faith for seed. And this is the faith that says this, that you can raise kids for God. This is the faith that looks at your children and sees potential. And you would think that you wouldn't have to preach this, but I have found in ministry that oftentimes parents give up on their own children. And you should have the faith to see that there's potential in your children. Psalm 45:16 says this. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 45:16 says, instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. The Bible says that we have the ability to empower our children to make them princes in all the earth. And don't misunderstand me. I understand completely that we're not Calvinists here. We believe in individual soul liberty. We believe in free will. And every child has to make their own decisions. We understand that. And you can be the greatest parent ever. And if you say that, you're not. Just know that. Because the greatest parent ever would never say they're the greatest parent ever. So if you've, you know, put that on Facebook or something, you should probably take it down. But you could be the greatest parent ever and still raise, you know, children that maybe go astray, because they all have to make their own decisions and they all have to decide what they're going to do. But the point is this, that we should have the faith to see a future for our children and to believe that God can do something with them and for them. And you say, well, you don't understand, my children have gone astray. Then pray for them. And get some faith to see that maybe God can deal with them. But look, here's what you ought not do. Don't just turn a blind eye to it. You should pray for your children. Pray, hey, God, get a hold of my son. Get a hold of my daughter. Get a hold of their lives and become real to them and humble them and do what you need to do to do a work in their life. It's the faith to have seeds, to raise children for the glory of God. And look, let me just say this, and I think it's important to say this. Be careful about being critical of other people's children. Everyone has trouble with their kids from time to time. Everyone has trouble with their children from time to time. It's always funny to me because whenever a parent's struggling with some child and maybe they're being rebellious or whatever, then you get all these other people, you know, they don't have children. or their children are like this big. It's like, my child would never. Your child's like this big. Okay, let's talk when your child's like this big. And you do whatever you want with it. I understand that I can preach all sorts of wisdom and try to give you wisdom, and you can or cannot receive it. You have the choice to not receive the wisdom preached from this pulpit. That has become abundantly clear to me. I understand that. You do what you want. But a wise person would be careful about criticizing parents when they're struggling with their children, because everybody struggles with their kids from time to time. And even God waits to the end of someone's life before he judges them. So why don't you just be patient with people? Or just mind your own business. So we see the faith for strength and the faith to sacrifice, the faith to see and the faith for seed. I'd like you to notice, fifthly tonight, Hebrews 11:24, we see the faith to suffer. The faith to suffer. Here in verse 24, we read the words again, by faith Moses. This is, depending on how you want to count it, if verse 23 is number 10, Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents, even though it says by faith Moses, we understand that, but it's about his parents. Then verse 24 would be number 11, Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. See, sometimes you have to wait for young people to come to years. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes they're going to have a rebellious phase. And you have to wait for them to come to years. Here the Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, look at these words, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So here we see the faith to suffer, the faith that suffering for Christ in this life will be worth it in the next. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Of course, you know the story. Moses was laid in a basket and put in the river, and of course his parents couldn't keep them, so they just surrendered him to God. And of course, we know that Pharaoh's daughter found him and raised him in the palace as an Egyptian. But Moses came to a place where he made a choice. He came to years and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And though it was going to cost him something and it was going to be difficult, the Bible says, choosing rather, these are some of the greatest verses in the Bible, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This is a faith to suffer. The faith that suffering for Christ in this life will be worth it in the next. Did you keep your place in Romans? Actually, before you go there, go to Hebrews 12 real quickly. You're there in Hebrews 11. Just flip over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our, look at the words, faith, who for the joy that was set before him, look at these words. What are we talking about? The faith to suffer. for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Say, did Jesus enjoy the cross? No, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have to understand this, that you and I are going to have, at some point, we're going to have to make the choice to have the faith to suffer. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 13, the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 13, 13, let us go forth therefore unto him. This is the writer of Hebrews speaking to us, saying, let us go forth therefore unto him, Jesus, without the camp. Notice these words, bearing his reproach. Do you understand that there is a reproach for living for Jesus? There's a reproach for standing up for the things of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12, you don't have to turn there, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And look, you and I are going to have to make the decision at some point, because it's going to cost you something to serve Jesus. That's just the bottom line. So you need to have the faith for strength. You need to have the faith for sacrifice. You need to have the faith to see, the faith for seed, the faith to suffer, because it's going to cost you something to serve Jesus. Go to Romans chapter 8. If you kept your place in Romans, Romans chapter 8, look at verse 18. Romans 8:18, the Bible says this, for I reckon. Today in our modern vernacular, when we think of this phrase reckon, we think of like some sort of southern cowboy or farmer or something. But the word reckon is actually a mathematical term. It means to calculate. And the Apostle Paul says here, for I reckon, he says, when I do the spiritual math, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, is there suffering in this present time? Yes, there is. Is there a reproach for living for God? Yes, it is. Look, is there pleasure in sin? Yeah, for a season. But Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, he says, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And you and I are just going to have to decide whether or not we have the faith to suffer. The faith to suffer for the cause of Christ. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. This is what the Bible says. Go back to, keep your place there in Romans. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse number 27. Hebrews 11, 27. Here we have the 11th mention. We see the phrase there again, by faith he. It's still Moses. We're still talking about Moses. Abraham and Moses get multiple mentions. Obviously, they were amazing men of God. By faith, he, talking about Moses, look at these words, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Notice the idea here. They're seeing something that is invisible. And look, what we see here is the faith to set aside. The faith to forsake the world and the things of the world. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And the truth is this, the reason that there are so many Christians today that just can't shake the world, because Egypt is a picture of the world. We've got Christians today that just want to live like the world, live like Egyptians. They can't forsake Egypt. They can't forsake worldliness. They can't forsake any of it. You say, why is that? It's because they do not have the faith to see him who is invisible. Because if you got a good look at God, I'm not talking about a physical look, but if you just got in your mind of faith, you got a view of God and who God is, like the Bible says about Isaiah, that he saw God high and holy and lifted up. If you got a view of God, you would forsake Egypt. You wouldn't need Egypt. You wouldn't need the music of Egypt. You wouldn't need the styles of Egypt. You wouldn't need the language of Egypt. You wouldn't need Egypt. If you are able to see him who is invisible. But the reason that so many people choose to stay in Egypt is because they never get a good view of God through faith. Go to Philippians chapter 3, if you would. If you kept your place in Romans, from Romans, you have 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, then Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. This is the faith to set aside, the faith to forsake, the faith to forsake the world and the things of the world. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We see this also played out in the life of the Apostle Paul. Worded a little different, but I want you to see it. Philippians 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, Paul is saying, back in the world, back in Egypt, the things that were gained to me, the things that were gain, that were people would look at and say, oh, that's cool. People would look at it and say, oh, that's amazing. But what things were gained to me, Paul says, those I counted loss for Christ. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Notice he doubtless, and look at what Paul says. I mean, Paul, one of the greatest characters in the Bible. He says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and do count them but dung. He says, look, Paul says, there's nothing in this world that I consider a gain. There's nothing in this world that I want. There's nothing in this world that would draw me away from God. He says, in fact, I count all those things loss for Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things. He said, I've already lost everything for Christ, and I do count them but dung. And then notice these words, that I may win Christ. Paul said, all I want is Christ. Paul said, God is the goal. And I understand for most carnal Christians, this is just such a foreign thought to say, there's nothing, Paul. There's nothing. There's no vehicle. There's no house. There's no wealth. There's no fame. There's nothing in this world that you want. And Paul says, I want Jesus. This is the faith to forsake. Think about the fact that Moses was a prince in Egypt, the most powerful, richest country in the world. And the Bible says, by faith, he forsook Egypt. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So we see the faith to set aside. I'd like you to notice, seventhly, tonight, there's 10 of these. Let me just get through the end of this quickly, if you would. In Hebrews 11 and verse 28, we see the 11th mention, still Moses, and we see the faith to serve. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So the Bible tells us here that through faith he kept the Passover. And obviously the Passover pictures salvation. There's lots of things that could be said here. But I want you to notice that he not only forsook Egypt, but then he also had the faith, the Bible says, he had the faith to keep the Passover. And I would say this is the faith to serve, the faith to use your God-given abilities to serve. He went back, brought the children of Israel out, and they kept the Passover together. You don't have to turn here. I'll just read this for you. We're running out of time. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible says that God has given you ability to serve with, and every man that hath received the gift should minister the same. You should use it for the glory of God. So this is the faith to serve. And then I want you to notice number 8 in verse 29 there, Hebrews 11, 29. Then the Bible says this, by faith they. Now here we see the word they. This is plural. So this is not just Moses anymore. And this is number 12. And they're not mentioned, but this is referring to the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, with the Egyptians assaying, the word assaying means to attempt, with the Egyptians assaying or attempting to do, were drowned. So here we see that they had the faith to pass through the Red Sea as by dry land, and when the Egyptians attempted to do the same thing, they drowned. Let me read to you from the story, Exodus 14. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this for you. Exodus 14, 13 says this, "And Moses said unto the people," remember when they were had their backs up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh with his army was coming to destroy them. The Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." I call this one the faith to step out. This is the faith to step out in faith at the commandment of God's word. And look, again, and these are all kind of connect with each other. But sometimes God is trying and testing to see what are we willing to sacrifice. And sometimes God is trying to see, are we willing to step out by faith? Now look, we ought not step out foolishly, but when the Bible says to do something, you should step out by faith at the commandment of God's word. It would be foolish for the children of Israel to enter into the Red Sea, but when God says, go forward, you just go forward. And of course, he parts the Red Sea on their behalf. And I'm just saying to you, what is it in your life that God is maybe prompting you? Step out! Maybe it's soul winning. And you're scared and you're afraid and you're nervous. You say, I don't know what I would say and all these things. But why not step out by faith, believing that God can help you, and step out at the commandment of God? Maybe it's to have your wife quit her job so you can stay home and be a homemaker like the Bible says. And you say, well, I'm scared. Well, why don't you just step out by faith and see what God does? Maybe it's rearranging your schedule so you can actually be faithful to all the services. You know, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is, maybe it's to start tithing. I don't know. I'm just saying, from time to time, you and I need to step out by faith at God's word, believing. Believing that God will make a way. So we see the faith to step out. Then I want you to notice number 9, the faith to stand up. Look at verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Still the children of Israel, now under the leadership of Joshua, when they stepped out by faith and passed through the Red Sea, that was under Moses. When they stepped up by faith and the walls of Jericho fell down, that was under the leadership of Joshua, after they were compassed about 7 days. And look, this is the faith to stand up and fight the battles of the Lord, believing God for the victory. And this requires faith. It required faith. I won't take the time to go through the story, but you know the story. God had them surround the walls of Jericho. They walked around the walls 7 times, 7 days. And the last day, they shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. And it's this faith that says, if God says fight, fight. And go. The faith to stand up and fight, believing that God will give the victory. And then lastly tonight, we'll look at verse 31. We won't finish the chapter, but we'll finish this section, this hall of faith. The Bible says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. And I call this one number 10, the faith to select, the faith to choose to stand with the people of God. Because Rahab the harlot, of course, was a Canaanite. And the Bible says, and I won't have you turn there, but in the book of Joshua, the Bible says that when the spies came, she said to them, your God is God. And she chose to stand with the people of God. And you know, in your life and in my life, we're going to have the faith to make a choice, the faith to select. You know what Joshua 24:15 says? It says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Why don't you choose today who you're going to serve? Here's how Elijah said it in 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. I think that's such a sad statement there. A man of God stands up and says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And instead of them saying, yes, let's follow God, the Bible says, and the people answered him not a word. They all stayed quiet. But not Rahab. Rahab chose. And by the way, Rahab ends up being in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's an ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ because she had the faith to select. So we see this hall of faith, the faith for strength, the faith that God can produce life from that which is dead, and the faith to sacrifice, the faith that allows you to surrender everything and anything to God. What is it that you're not willing to give up? The faith to see, the faith to see what can be and what God has in store, and the faith for seed, the faith that you can raise children for the glory of God, the faith to suffer, the faith that says suffering for Christ in this life will be worth it in the next, and the faith to set aside, the faith to forsake the world and the things of the world, the faith to serve, the faith to use your God-given abilities and get involved in the things of God and serve, the faith to step out by faith at the commandment of God's word, and the faith to stand up and fight the battles of the Lord, believing God for victory, and the faith to select, to choose to stand with the people of God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. She made a choice when she had received the spies with peace. These are all different areas in my life and in your life that require faith. The just shall live by faith. I hope you'll find where it is you're lacking, and I'll find where it is I'm lacking, and that we will exercise faith in these different areas in our lives. Let's bow our heads and I will pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And we thank you for this chapter, and Lord, we pray that you would help us as we seek to live a life of faith. And Lord, I pray that you would help us with these things. There's going to be different times in our lives when we need faith. The faith to surrender, the faith to sacrifice, the faith to serve, the faith to suffer. And when we find ourselves in these different areas, help us to be able to make the right choice, to pass the test, and to be the people of faith. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to have Brother Moses come up and lead us in a final song, and then we have a baptism tonight, so we'll go ahead and prepare for baptism.
Please turn to your songbooks, page number